All right, we're on Nun Gimel Amid Aleph. Nun Gimel is also a classic daf, Perek Eilu Dvarim, the last of this Perek. So, first of all, we have a couple interesting sugyas here. Number one, the Gemara quotes a brisa, Nun Gimel, where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue whether each person in the Beis Medrash should make his own bracha on the flame, or whether one person should make the bracha on behalf of everybody, right? So Beis Hillel says each person in the Beis Medrash, Beis Shammai says each person in the Beis Medrash should make their own bracha on the flame. Beis Hillel says everybody should make it. One person should make it for everybody. And the Gemara says that according to Beis Shammai, the reason each person makes it individually is to stop Bittul Torah. So it's a funny line. What do you mean, the Bittul Torah? The bracha is the same whether one person says it on behalf of everybody or whether each person says it. So what's the Bittul Torah? So could be what Rashi is getting at. Mipnei Bittul Beis HaMedrash. Rashi says, Bizman she'echad mavarech lekulam, heim tzrichim lishtok migir sasam. When one guy does it, they all have to be quiet and just listen to have the proper kavana and then be able to answer amen. If everybody's making their own havdalah, they're also going to have to stop to make the bracha. So what's the difference? So what Rashi could be getting at is it could be that it takes a long time for a large group of people to quiet down to hear one person make a bracha, right? And that may be the kavana of what Rashi's saying, that if you're going to get everybody to listen into one bracha, you're going to have to wait till the room is quiet. That's 5-10 minutes of gathering everybody together, and that might be Bittul Torah. Another possibility.
Yeah, but generally, when they have a big base of medrash, they have one person saying when another raises his hand, when he finishes, they say, "Amen," even if they don't hear him.
Yeah, but the point is, if they're going to have one guy being, you're talking in Pumpadisa, how they would do it with the chazan. But here, let's say you're talking about a base medrash where you don't need to do that. You're going to have a base medrash of 100 guys. To 100 guys, you're going to wait till everyone's quiet, we're going to make the bracha, we made the, right? That's what you made a shofar blowing. Takes a few minutes to get everybody settled down. And therefore, that could be what the Gemara is worried about. When one person makes the bracha for everyone else, also they have to answer amen. It could be that's the extra word. It could be that's the extra word, that they said something else. And by the way, if you think that a single word of Bittul Torah is meaningless, the Gemara quotes the practice of the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Gamliel, and where nobody would respond merape after a sneeze. What's merape after a sneeze? Gesundheit. No one would say Gesundheit because just one word was seen in the context of the Beis Medrash as Bittul Torah. Okay, that's one sugya. Then you have the sugya of searching for a flame. And the Gemara says if you don't have a flame on what to recite Havdalah, you don't have to go search for one. The Gemara on Nun Gimel Amud Beis says, why not? Why don't you have to go search for one? So the Rashba and other Rishonim point out the only reason we make a bracha on the flame on Matzei Shabbos is to commemorate that Hashem's creation of fire on the first Matzei Shabbos after creation. And since the bracha is only commemorative and not intrinsic to the Havdalah, it's not necessary to search for a fire where to make the bracha, right? You don't have to go search for the fire to where to make the bracha. The Sefer Amanik says the reason why you don't have to search for a flame. The Sefer Mani says the reason why you don't have to go search for a flame is that because Rava Paskins that one makes a bracha only on a flame from where you get benefit, from where you get hana. If you're searching for a fire to make a bracha, then you're only using the fire for the purpose of this Havdalah, and therefore that would not be a good reason to, that would not be proper hana. So it seems like you have very significant nafgamina between the reason of the Rashba and the Sefer Amanik. Again, let me say the two reasons. It's huge. Because the Rashba point out the only reason we make a bracha on a flame on Matzei Shabbos is to commemorate Hashem's creation of fire. Right? The first Matzei Shabbos. Since the bracha is only commemorative and not intrinsic to the Havdalah, it's not necessary to search for a flame on which to make the bracha. Just by the way, I saw an interesting teretz. I was looking at following sugya of we say tefilas arvis rishus, right? The Gemara says arvis is a rishus. There is the opinion of the Chida brought down in the Shari Tshuva who says that Marav on Shabbos night is Chova. Marav on Shabbos night is Chova. And the question is, why is Marav on Shabbos night a Chova and the other one is a Rishus? So, a couple good answers to this here. Number one is that according to the I think Sholem Eshev, he says like this. We know that korbanos were keneged tamidim tiknum. They were instituted parallel to various korbanos that were consistent every day. What was the Maariv? The Maariv was the burning of the Evarim and the Pedarim, the burning of the innards that lasted past night. That didn't always happen. It wasn't Maakev the Korban. That's why Tfilas Arvis Rishus. Let me ask you, on Shabbos night, was there burning of the innards?
No.
There was no burning of the innards on Shabbos night. So therefore, it has to be the Maariv on Shabbos night is for a totally different reason. And that reason, therefore, means it's going to be Ma'akev. You understand? I don't know what the reason is Maariv Shabbos night. But it's no longer the optional reason of the Keneged Tamidim Musaf. Yeah, the Evar and Pedar. One second. That's Matzah Shabbos. The Mavdil. Friday night. I'm talking Friday night. Tfilas Arvis Chova says the Chida. So the question is, why is it a Chova? If it's Rishus the whole week. So one answer I'm giving you, from one answer, it's because the whole week is parallel to the burning of the Evar and Pedar. There's no Evar and Pedar Friday night. So Lamai Friday night, it has to be for some other reason, and therefore that's why he says Chova. Fine, jumping in from week to Shabbos. Good. Another teretz I saw was from the Kloisenberger Rebbe. Yeah.
And the H, if you, therefore, on Motzei Shabbos, some have a minute to turn the lights off, and then...
Yeah, that's what ties into this.
And use the light, because otherwise, what's the Hano?
Right, the Hano. The Sefer HaManig would need an actual Hano.
The lights on, and it doesn't do anything.
Yeah. According to the Rashba, you didn't need a Hano. According to the Sefer HaManig, that would be a nafkamina. So just to close this out, the Kloisenberger Rebbe says again, why did the Chidah say that Maariv Shabbos night is a Chova? So... He says like this, usually in general, the night follows the day in halacha. The day follows the night in halacha, right? That's always the case in halacha. Day follows the night. The night's when a yontif begins is at night, right? When it comes to Beis HaMikdash and Korbanos, what's going on? When it comes to Beis HaMikdash and Korbanos, in that case, the night that follows the day. It always starts with the morning. And that's why Shachris is considered the first tefillah. Shachris is considered the first tefillah because in the Beis HaMikdash and by Korbanos, everything starts with the morning, not the night. So during the week, I get it. That's why the Maariv is the third one. It's the final one. It's the end already. You already were Yotzei in the morning. You're already at the end. On Shabbos, though, it's a mitzvah of Zmanim. And on Shabbos, again, we go back to the mitzvah starting with the night and then the day. And therefore, because of that, that's why the Kloisenberger Rebbe says the Maariv at night on Shabbos night is the Chova and not a Rishus. Okay, so back to this Machlokas. You have Machlokas, Rashba, and the Manhig. Why the Gemara would say that if you don't have a flame on Matzei Shabbos, you don't have to go search for one. Again, the Rashba says it's commemorative to that first Matzei Shabbos and not intrinsic to the Havdalah itself. According to that, you wouldn't have to get Hana from the flame. But according to the Sefer HaManig, the reason is that you have to make a bracha only on a flame from where you get benefit from. And since you're running around just to find it for this reason, that's not real Hana.
So if you don't have a flame, you don't say Mori Ha'esh, you don't say Rayon Havdalah.
Well, you don't say Mori Ha'esh if you don't have fire. It's fire. Mori Ha'esh means fire.
Okay, I know that. But what I'm saying is that the Havdalah still stands. It's still good. You don't have to go away the next day, find a flame and...
Right, correct. You, the proof is after a yontif or whatever, you know? So first the Gemara says that you don't need to search for a flame on Matzei Shabbos. So now do you need to search for Besamim? Right? Do you need to go around looking for Besamim or not? So according to the Rashba, who says you don't need to search for a flame because you only make a bracha on a flame before you get benefit, right? This certainly doesn't need to search for Besamim. The bracha besamim is certainly only for Hana, and that's how the Rashba paskins in the name of the Ravid. But according to the second reason, you should be required to search for besamim because once you smell them, you're going to get benefit from them. And it's not like a light where you absolutely mamish had no need for it, but suddenly you just got it for that reason. Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rashba that you don't have to look for a flame on Matzei Shabbos if you don't seem to have one. On Matzei Yom Kippur, though, we do paskin that you have to go out of your way to find it. He says, Rambam says, Aim of Archid al Aner, Ad Shia Osala Oro, Kadeshi Akir be Matbea, enough to get Hanav. You could tell between a coin of this capital and a coin of another city. So that's why we do this with the fingers. You could see, it's like checking coin. You could check on a small level. What were you going to say?
Well, I think the only thing that's very important on Shabbos is the after Buen Kavoa is the Barim Eroh. You're creating a light that you couldn't do during the Shabbos that you're doing now. Everything else, the psalm and everything else, it has nothing.
It's not the bar mitzvah. The essential one is the havdil. A havdil ben kodesh l'chol. Look, I actually gave you.
But what was the reason for the fire then? What's the?
We said the Mishnah here.
God created the fire.
Correct, to commemorate the fire of the first Motzei Shabbos in humanity. To commemorate the fire. The Rashba is saying your point. That point, that idea means it's not intrinsic to the havdalah. It's a side element to the havdalah. I misspoke. I think it was the Kloisenberger Rebbe's answer to this question, which ties back in. The Kloisenberger Rebbe's answer to this question was that you see that they established. Oh, this is a good answer. They established Atachon and Tanu in the Motzei Shabbos Shemona Esrei, right? They established Atachon and Tanu in the Motzei Shabbos Shemona Esrei, to be able to do Havdalah. So you see, and by the way, even if you don't have Havdalah, it's still, you're saying Atachon and Tanu Shemona Esrei. So how could you say they established an Atachon and Tanu, a special prayer, in an optional? That's his point. How could you say they establish it in an optional? What were you going to say, Mr. Gennauer? Sorry.
Would that Tochen Antanu allow you to do eat, for example, without Havdalah after Shabbat?
Right. We assume no Ta'ima before the... No, just for Malacha.
Is it because of because you need Alakos?
What?
Alakos.
It was Niskin Alakos. The whole thing was instituted on the... Meaning you don't have the flame. You just have the cup, you want to say. Yeah. Yes, correct.
Could you use...
Correct.
Sure. You know, you're looking for the flame...
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we said yesterday. That we need. That's why Rav Avad Yosef Paskin, the electric lights are not going to be good.
But if you have nothing else, you can't use that.
What?
If you have
he said that Rav Chaim Ozer, who did it, was only b'shas atchak, was back against the wall stuck. You use electric light. You use what's called electricity. You can't use LEDs. No flame. There's no ash.
Right.
Right? By the way, here it is. I have the Rashba here. Kosev arayvit kol shekin al besamim de'eino hanan de'napshe. You don't have to go schlepping around looking for besamim. Rayv or another wisdomak that came in dalei or ma'is brachus mavarach lehader kamash v'landelo. You don't have to go looking around for it. That's true. Matzei Shabbos aval or sheshavas b'yom kippurim. You have to go around looking for it because that's not like birkas havdalah that you bas b'jadu v'yom mazel shar yomim. Hayna sur mishtemesh b'achshav anu matarim bo. Right, he says that's a little different because Matzei Yom Kippur is not commemorative for the first Matzei Shabbos. That's really to allow you to do Malacha again without a Matzei Shabbos, and that's why after Yom Kippur you have to go schlepping around looking for the fire. More important to have a flame than... No, it's not Eish. It's not fire.
So therefore you're allowed to turn it on?
What?
You're allowed to turn it on?
No, because Eish Derabanan. You're right, Eish Derabanan. We assume it's Eish Derabanan. Too many properties that are similar. Bona, other things that it's not exactly...
It's not Deraisa.
Not Deraisa, maybe. What?
It's
not there. It might be there. No, but it might be. Some say that it heats up. You heat up the element so much, you touch the LED. It's so hot to the touch that you're heating up. Mecham, right? We're trying to figure out what it is. Again, when it came to electricity, they worked backwards, the rabbis, that we knew this would not be good for the culture of Shabbos, everyone turning on whatever they wanted, using all appliances. And we're just trying to figure out which bucket it falls into, as the Chazanish points out. Which bucket? Worked the other way. The Gemara says that a certain student was machmer, like the opinion of Beis Shammai, by going back to the place he ate to make Birkas HaMazon there. And he was rewarded by going back that he got a golden wallet. And the Gemara says earlier on Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, famous Gemara, that you're not allowed to be machmer to follow Beis Shammai in a case where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue. And the Gemara says you can't follow Beis Shammai, who says that one's obligated to lie down to say Kriya Shema. Even though Beis Hillel says you're allowed to, you still can't go out of your way to follow Beis Shammai. So how come over here, this guy got rewarded by being machmer like Beis Shammai to go back to the place of the benching? So Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his commentary on the Mishnayos, quotes the Tshuva Sarama, who says that it's mutter to follow the ruling of Beis Shammai only when doing so is not going to involve the kula, a leniency in any way. In the case of the Gemara here, returning to the place in order to make Birkas HaMazon is only a chumrah. There's no leniency whatsoever. Because Beis Hillel agrees that going back to your place is equally acceptable. He just didn't want to make anybody to have to
right.
do it.
Right?
But laying down to say Shema, that's a leniency. So you can't go out of your way to follow Beis Shammai if it's going to lead to a lenient self. Leniency.
Rabbi Fran once spoke about it. He gave a share of what he gave here. He said he forgot to sit bench. He was on the way to the ship.
Yeah.
He came back purposely to sit bench at the house.
Yeah.
For the tilich of his children.
Yeah. Very good. Remember the Shabbos afternoon. Yeah. 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, Rabbi Akiva Eger himself used the Psak of the Rosh to answer this question. In the case earlier, 11a, with the laying down for Shema, Beis Hillel does not hold it's better to say the Shema while laying down than sitting up. That's not what they hold. They're saying that you fulfill the mitzvah while laying down. Here, however, though, Beis Hillel doesn't make you go back to say Birkas HaMazon. But the Rosh says the Beis Hillel would agree. That's preferable to go back. They would agree it's preferable.
Right, that's right.
And that's why. Now, another thing I want to share with you in this sugya is Tanayim with strange name. The Gemara quotes a Brisa that discusses rubbing oil on the hands before benching. And the Brisa quotes three Tanayim with strange names. Rav Zilai, Rav Zivai, Rav Zuhamai. Right? Three Tanayim with three strange names. So the Maritz Chia says that it's not a coincidence that Rebbe Zuhamai... Good morning, Joseph. Of course, that'd be great. So again, we're talking, the Gemara has a rabbis with three funny names. Rabbi Zilai, Rabbi Zivai, Rabbi Zuhamai. So the Maritz Chia says that it's not a coincidence that Rebbe Zuhamai was discussing... What's the bad stuff on the hands called? Zuhama. Zuhama is the bad stuff on the hands. So the Tana is given a name that reflects the thing he said. Because this is the only time he's mentioned in all of Shas.
Oh my God, wow.
The only time. Rav Reuven Margolius says that there are many people in the Gemara whose names reflect their teaching. For example, in our Gemara, Rabbi Zilai and Rabbi Zivai are nicknames that stem from what they teach. Rabbi Zilai teaches that you pour hands, right? Lahazil means to pour, that you pour the thing on your hands. Rabbi Zivai means that he talks about smearing oil on one's hands. Ziv is to give it a shine. So often, these rabbis, who I guess were no-namers, they nickname, you know, the guy who eats all morning, all morning he has peaches.
They were smart.
Guy had thousands of peaches for breakfast every morning. They call the guy Peachy Rabinowitz, yeah. Right? So that's it. The same thing here. This is their famous psak. The famous psak was smearing the oil on the hand.
What,
so you
before benching?
What?
When did he?
Yeah. They would clean their hands because Mayim Achronim. Instead of Mayim Achronim, they clean the Melech Sodomus and the Mayim Zuhuma off their hands. The Zuhuma off their hands with this Mayim, with this water. You have here, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mahalach Barvei Shabbosos, B'Tveri, Matzah Shabbos B'Zipori, and you smell a smell, Eina Mavarech. Why? M'vdei Shechaskaso, Eina Asuya, El Gamar Bo'os Akelem. Right, you go to Tzipori in these places, and you smell a smell, you don't make a bracha, because those smells that you're smelling was to be Gomer the Kelem. We're not going to have time to discuss that that sugya. There's so much on this stuff. We could have done 3 hours. All right, but we got to stop there for today.